Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
In March, an American Airlines jet, a Boeing 777, was making a regularly scheduled flight from New Delhi to Newark. It was a normal flight, cruising at 32,000 feet.
Over Pakistan, the pilot got this alert saying, pull up, pull up.
That's Drew Fitzgerald, who covers telecommunications for the Wall Street Journal.
That system is known as an enhanced ground proximity warning system. And usually when that system goes off, the pilot listens and pulls the plane up.
Because in almost every normal case where a crew might hear that warning, things are not good. That sound is there to say, hey, you might be about to fly into a mountain. You gotta take action. But that is not what was happening on this flight. And thankfully, the pilot knew it.
The pilot of this American Airlines flight knew, due to the terrain that he was flying over and the history of this area, that that alert was a false alarm.
The plane was getting a fake signal.
The GPS systems on that plane had been spoofed, it had been lied to, and were telling the plane that it was somewhere that it was not.
According to Drew's reporting, this isn't a one-time phenomenon. Passenger flights around the world are being caught up by GPS spoofing and jamming.
We've seen stats from researchers showing that based on the publicly available data that they can glean from these planes as they're transmitting data, you know, back to systems on Earth, that these kind of fake signals are being picked up by hundreds of flights a day. And it's something that pilots, depending on where they fly and where they operate, are having to deal with almost every day that they fly over certain areas, and they've got to adapt to that.
Today on the show, how the aviation system faces a new kind of electronic threat in the skies. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game, shifting a little money here, a little there, just hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help you find options within your budget. Try it today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Even though we take GPS for granted now, it's on your phone, maybe in your car, its origins go back to the Sputnik era and the space race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. The Defense Department began experimenting with satellite navigation in the 1960s. Over the years, they built on that work.
Decades ago, it was also opened up to the commercial sector, to civilians. It's kind of like the history of the internet in a way. The internet has its roots in DARPA programs and military funding that was used for basically purely government purposes. And eventually, it was opened up to the commercial sector, and the rest is history. There's, of course, the history of flight in the 80s that was flying over Russia, and due to a navigation mistake, it was shot down over Russia.
On August 31st, 1983, a South Korean airliner, KAL Flight 007, with 269 people on board, left Anchorage for Seoul. The Boeing 747 strayed from its normal route into Soviet airspace.
That was a tragedy. There was a congressman on that plane. That accelerated existing plans to make GPS available to the aviation sector and the public writ large for safety reasons. So we kind of take for granted that this system, which is reliant on a network of satellites that is circling the globe in what's called medium Earth orbit for pretty much everything. It's not just Waymo in your car and wayfinding on your iPhone. There's a lot of hidden things that rely on GPS under the hood that we don't even think about every day.
When did airlines first start experiencing the spoofing issue?
So the spoofing issue is kind of new. Not to get too technical, but there's two types of GPS interference, jamming and spoofing. Jamming is basically, I blast out a signal and you can't pick up anything. So GPS is gone, forget it, act accordingly and deal as if it's not there. And airlines have been ready for GPS jamming for decades. If GPS isn't available, there are plenty of systems on the plane that allow you to navigate and land without the aid of GPS.
Instead of completely overwhelming a signal, spoofing is more like a virus inside the GPS. It hijacks the system, making the GPS calculate a false position. Researchers told Drew that for a long time, spoofing wasn't very common. It was mostly used in areas of heavy fighting. But recently, there's been an uptick in spoofing incidents.
The spoofing phenomenon has really exploded over the past year or so. And it's spread to wider areas of Eastern Europe and also the Middle East. And most people suspect that the reason that all of these spoofing transmitters are being set up, are blasting these fake signals, is to attack drones. You really can't tell the story of GPS spoofing without talking about the explosion of cheap commercial-grade drones that are being used on the battlefield. Those are flooding the market from Ukraine to all around the Middle East, and nations that want to protect themselves from those sorts of attacks are often turning to spoofing to do it.
So if you're, say, a commercial airliner, do spoofing and jamming present themselves differently if you're at cruising altitude?
Yeah, absolutely. So jamming would, to a pilot, generally just look like your GPS has gone out. And a lot of systems on planes are ready for that. First of all, if a jamming attack happens and your GPS signal is unavailable, the navigation and other systems on the plane can just keep flying for a while using what the plane knows about where it was the last time the signal was available. And jamming is something that pilots have seen off and on for many years. There are reports that, you know, jamming isn't always like crafty nation states that are trying to down drones. Sometimes it's as simple as truck drivers will buy a cheap little thing to put on their dashboard from eBay, and that helps avoid their location being tracked so they don't get docked for, you know, not logging travel hours when they're supposed to be on the road. That kind of thing has happened for a while. It's a nuisance. It's definitely a problem, but a lot of aviation safety officials have told us that it's something that is manageable. Spoofing is completely different. These spoofing attacks will poison the cockpit with false information, that sometimes that equipment is not ready or is not smart enough to handle.
Spoofing is now common enough that pilots have started posting videos of their cockpits when it happens. They're flying normally. Then suddenly, their system tells them they are in imminent danger.
Terrain ahead. Pull up. Terrain ahead. Pull up.
Often it will look like the panel in front of the pilots will show that a GPS signal has been lost. And then suddenly it may show the location of the airplane jumping around. And again, that proximity warning system that warns the plane if it's about to fly into a mountain will sometimes light up red and show that there is terrain ahead of them where there was nothing before. And that is a sign that something's a little funky, something's amiss.
We talked about this happening to an American commercial flight over Pakistan. Is there a particular location in the world where this is happening? After all, there's conflict in lots of places, Ukraine, the Middle East. Is this, you know, commercial airliner wanders accidentally into a spot where someone's trying to jam a drone, or is it more targeted than that?
It's actually less targeted than that. About a year ago, this used to be really common around Ukraine and other parts of Eastern Europe, the Baltic Sea. Over the summer, there was a huge uptick in spoofing attacks all around the Middle East. So first of all of these signals are not targeting planes. They're targeting drones. I always have to stop myself from saying airplanes are bystanders in this because they're not standing still. They're flying at 500 miles an hour, but they're not the targets of this activity. They're collateral damage. Now, a lot of these fake signals are being picked up all around Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, and they may be directed at drones that are crossing some of those borders in areas where there's active firefights going on and there are missile and drone attacks virtually every day. But the signals are traveling for hundreds of miles. They're going as far as Cyprus over the Mediterranean Sea. There are signals that are also coming purportedly from Iran based on what researchers have been able to pick up from the data that's available to them. So this isn't a situation where, you know, as in the past, after the MH17 disaster, planes can just fly around the entire country of Ukraine to avoid getting caught up in a firefight, basically. Because the signals travel so far, there's really no way for them to completely avoid all spoofing if their assigned route is between, you know, certain parts of the world. They'll have to fly through it.
Airlines are aware of the dangers with flying over areas where spoofing is common, and they train pilots to look out for it. The problem is that not every aircraft is created equal.
Every plane and every piece of avionics equipment is slightly different, and it reacts differently to this type of attack. So it's a lot of extra workload and a lot of extra preparation that pilots have to take to deal with the problem. And the concern that people in the aviation industry and some regulators have is that all that extra work could be a safety risk for pilots who are also having to deal with normal crises that pop up every day in the normal course of commercial aviation. Sometimes engines go out, landing gear fails, stormy weather happens, and that's a safety risk, but it's a manageable risk because airlines plan for that, and the pilots are trained to deal with that. But when they have this extra workload on top of that to deal with all of these technical glitches in the cockpit, that creates a lower margin of safety that is really worrying some people.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of mantra is aviate, navigate, communicate. And I could understand if you are at 32,000 feet, like the example that we started with, you've got lots of room to aviate. You know that you have space to navigate, but every extra piece of data that is coming into a cockpit, particularly when you're talking about a big jet with very complicated avionics, that is a pretty big added burden on a flight crew.
Absolutely. A lot of what we've heard from pilots and from others in the aviation industry has focused on the worries specifically around takeoff and descent and landing. That's when the workload is highest under normal circumstances for pilots. And that's when a failure of any of these systems is the most worrisome.
When we come back, what to do about a world where GPS simply isn't reliable?
This episode is brought to you by Lumen. Your metabolism is your body's engine, so optimizing your metabolic health translates to easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, and better sleep. Introducing Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen device first thing in the morning, and the app lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs. Then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. It also gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. Breathe into it before and after workouts and meals so you know exactly what's going on in your body in real time, and Lumen will give you tips to keep you on top of your health game. So if you want to stay on track with your health this holiday season, go to lumen.me/TBD to get 15% off your Lumen. That is lumen.me/TBD for 15% off your purchase. Lumen makes a great gift too.
It's always nice to get more for less. So here's a life hack that can automatically put some extra cash in your pocket. Discover will automatically double all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. So you could get some money for this holiday season and get more next holiday season. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
So how are, I guess, both airlines and regulators trying to handle this?
Well, there's a lot going on at once. Airlines in general are coming up with their own recommended sets of procedures to tell pilots how to deal with spoofing as they encounter it. And it often depends on the type of aircraft in their fleet and the areas that they tend to fly over. So Airbus and Boeing are also issuing guidance to airlines to share with their flight crews, but they're pretty tight-lipped about the specifics because they don't want to discuss this publicly. And I've also heard from some in the industry that they're wary of talking about specifics also because if there are certain instructions or certain fixes on the technical side that could be developed to evade spoofing, the same people that are developing these spoofing techniques could find a way to work around that. It's kind of a cat and mouse game.
Are there kind of malign actors who want to spoof commercial aviation just because?
We haven't seen any evidence of that. That would be much more dangerous and that would be much more worrisome. But so far, most of the people that we've talked to who work in aviation or who are experts in GPS and navigation systems say that all of these attacks aren't necessarily targeting airplanes. But the same techniques that can be used to down drones or send them off course could be improved on and developed to make that spoofing even more effective. And the problem is, these drones are sucking up the same commercial GPS signals, the same civilian GPS signals that airplanes are. And that's a big difference, and that's a big debate that looms over this whole issue, is the fact that really, no matter who is using this GPS signal, they're all drawing on the same civilian GPS signal. If you are a defense contractor and you're manufacturing a fighter jet or a missile or even some artillery shells that can be steered as they're falling down on their targets, they can often use military signals. Those are encrypted with the M code, and that is very tightly controlled by the U.S. government. They do not want to offer that to the commercial sector because they rely on it to develop their weapons.
Well, is there a way then to look at this from the other end and say, well, wait a minute, our civilian GPS system should be more robust and less vulnerable to this kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that, and there are no easy solutions. First of all, there's basic discussion about really using technology that already is out there in the field to put GPS antennas in airplanes that are smarter. Sometimes it could be as simple as just installing an antenna that can tell which direction the signal is coming from and will listen to anything that is coming up from the sky and will disregard anything that's coming from the ground. Because if a GPS signal is coming from below the airplane, it's probably not real. The problem with that is that's actually considered under the rules today, controlled military grade technology, and there are restrictions on how even those antennas, which just receive a signal, we're not talking about any kind of weapons here, how they can be installed in civilian aircraft. Now, I've talked to people who say that those rules could change, or at least could be loosened in the near future, but that doesn't solve the problem immediately, because installing anything on an airplane, especially if it helps fly the airplane, is a really time-consuming process, and it probably wouldn't be something that could be put into new airliners for at least a couple years. The same goes for picking up new types of navigation signals. But even if that were to happen, first of all, spoofing can fake any of these signals. And second of all, it would take years to put in.
You know, earlier in this conversation, you mentioned both MH17, Malaysian airliner that was shot down by Russian-backed separatists over Ukraine. You also mentioned the Korean Air flight that was shot down over Russia in 1983. And those are obviously the worst case scenario that I think someone's mind goes to when you talk about jamming or spoofing. When the airlines and the FAA and the, you know, satellite industry think about this, does spoofing raise the risk of something that tragic happening?
Well, I wouldn't want to go too far and compare the threat from this type of spoofing to what happened in 1983. First of all, airlines are much safer than they were in the 80s, not just because of all these new systems that rely on GPS signals where they didn't before. There's a lot of other safety systems that are installed on planes that weren't available then. The main risk that flight crews talk about, if they have to highlight one over all the others, is that enhanced ground proximity warning system. It's the systems that warn planes if they're flying too low close to terrain that is very high, close to mountains. There are two versions of that system. There's the original ground proximity warning system that has been credited with saving thousands of lives because flying, especially in mountainous areas, became much safer after those were installed. And the enhanced versions drew on GPS to make them even safer and give pilots even more time to react to those warnings so that they can keep the plane flying on course. The main concern that we hear from pilots about those systems, specifically the enhanced version of the system, because the enhanced version relies on GPS data, is that because this spoofed data is contaminating the warning system with false information about where they're flying, their worry is that pilots are going to disregard them. It's a boy who cried wolf type situation, and that they'll disregard it enough that when in a real situation where a legit alert is going off, they don't react or don't react quickly enough.
In the past, commercial aviation has really just not flown over a lot of conflict zones. But, you know, listening to you, when we talk about spoofing and jamming, you said, you know, these things can travel hundreds of miles. We're not talking about things that are restricted to small areas. Does this come along with, I guess, a wholesale rethinking of how flight paths maybe need to be kind of retailored in an electronic age?
I think you could start having that discussion, but I don't think it would go very far, because there's really no way to avoid some of these areas short of canceling the flight. There are so many zones that a lot of airlines are not allowed to fly over. Most of all of Russia, Ukraine, in certain cases, the Black Sea. I can go on and on. That if these airlines want to get to their destination, they're going to have to fly into through some areas where spoofing is known to happen. There's just no way around it. Part of that reason is, again, just because of how old GPS is. GPS has been around for 50 years. It's kind of a victim of its own success, because it's gained a reputation not only for being extremely dependable. Because of that, airlines just built so many systems into their newer aircraft to treat GPS as the gold standard. And that is part of the problem, because it's not easy to flip all of those systems off. A lot of times it's not easy to reset these GPS systems while the plane is flying. That's caused, you know, some heartburn among the regulators and the airlines, because some of them don't necessarily want to tell pilots, go ahead, flip the circuit breakers on the GPS in the aircraft while it's flying, because it's not something that they design the systems to do while in flight. So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, there really is no way around this spoofing. And part of the reason is, again, because GPS is very old and the signal is very reliable, but it's actually very, very faint, which means it doesn't take a lot of money or expertise now to pull up a truck anywhere in a country that wants to fend off these drones and blast a signal that's going to drown it out for miles, many, many miles away.
Drew Fitzgerald, thank you so much for your reporting and for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Drew Fitzgerald is a telecom reporter for The Wall Street Journal. And that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, Alyssa Jung Perry, and Shayna Roth. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate, and TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you like what you heard today, the single best way to support us is to join Slate Plus. You get all your Slate podcasts, like this one, ad-free. All right, we'll be back next week with more episodes. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening.
For over 100 years, Schneider Electric has provided the equipment and expertise to pros to keep the lights on. But in the 21st century, your home demands a symphony of energy. Digital devices, battery backup, EV charging, and you've got the power with help from Schneider Home. Let's talk about automated energy control. Why do your appliances need a connected system? It's an investment in real money savings because your energy use is streamlined using off-peak draw or battery backup to optimize your use and savings, which is better for the planet and puts money back in your pocket. A double savings from your friends at Schneider Home. So let's start with the basics. At SchneiderHome.com, it's easy to see what tech you may need and be connected with a certified local installer to make sure your power always stays ahead of your needs. And it's flexible. No solar, smaller system. Yeah, we got you. Design your system at SchneiderHome.com today and enjoy the symphony. Schneider Home. You've got the power.